Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing 5 a Day. I'm John Allsop. Today we start with, I'm not actually a big fan of email shots. I kind of understand it. I understand that there's lots of people, you know, get a lot from it. But it seems old school to me. But anyway, even older school is that there are people out there who like text emails over HTML emails, and it's worth testing both. I mean, test everything, but it's you know, when you receive a very graphic email, your immediate thought is that it's selling you something, and so your brain's there to protect you. It tries to second guess whether people are out to mean you harm or to do you good. And people who want to sell you something are generally out to do you harm. So your head's already spotted all of these. What do you call them? Hints, things that might mean that the email is primarily for the sender's benefit and not for yours. So if it's overly graphic, it's very nicely laid out, then obviously it's a polished email shot, and actually it's out to sell you something rather than to give you benefit. So possibly, quite possibly, a plain text would convert better. And that was the I can't remember what I was reading now, but that was the thing that fired that off. The premise was that plain text email would actually convert better, so it's very much worth testing that. Next up, it's trying to make the best use of that moment just after the person's bought something, or just after they've committed to buying something. So here's where you put your upsells and downsells. You bought A, well, would you like B as well? And if you want B, then would you like C as well? So this is the, you just put some strawberries, do you want cream to go with it? Or, the usual example is you just bought a mobile phone, do you want the case to go with it and the screen protector and the in-car charger and da-da-da? And it's consistency that makes that work. The person who has bought something, there's no reason for them not to buy the other things from you because they've already gotten over the business of trusting you, and they've already said yes, and they've already kind of got, they're there. And it saves them time going looking for the accessories later on. Anyway, so one thing you could do quite quickly and easily on your website is on the thank you page, when somebody's bought something on your website, you could say, why don't you follow us on Twitter? Why don't you follow us on Facebook? What about telling your friends about us? Now, it may be, you know, this business about when you go to the cash point, and what's the sequence? You put your card in. You get your card back before you get your money, and then the receipt comes after that. So it's card, money, and receipt. That's and as I in back in the depths of my mind, I think that early cash machines gave you your money, and then gave you your card back. And they had a lot of problems with people walking off with the money and forgetting the card. Because to them, the transaction's complete, the money, I've got the money, that was my goal, I'm gone. So it could be that putting the like us on Facebook thing after the sale doesn't work because the people have got what they want and they don't want to do anything else. Their dealings with you are over because they've placed their order. So you could have to, it might be that You might have to put something before the sale. It's you're gonna have to mess with it, but it could be that you get people to tick a box before the sale to say that they would like to share it. I mean, it's all very subtle, but it's very much up for testing, and you could get, quite a lot of new business from that if you get it right. So anyway, I mean, it's all very down to the specifics, but just make sure that around that space there's a way, subtly or not, for people to share the fact that they have had a good purchase with you. Next up is it's the idea of DIY, and it's a very big deal at the moment because obviously we're in austere times, and it's become very trendy, and particularly with things like Pinterest coming up. Is it now the third biggest social media site? Only started 2 years ago, and on there, there's a lot of people sharing recipes and how-tos. Obviously, YouTube is very big for that. If you're a knitter or a dressmaker or a baker or a gardener, you can find how-tos on anything that you're interested in on YouTube. So, there was what was the Borders is the bookshop in the UK that went bust, I don't know, maybe a year or more ago. And that all of the books in Borders were how to. They were all self-improvement books, pretty much everywhere you looked. So this is obviously a huge thing, a huge trend for the times. And it means that as opposed to going to on a full course to learn the whole of whatever, you can just pick up the bits that you need as and when you need it from the internet. So that's fantastic. So this is a huge trend. The links I've put up are about, I mean, I love, there's a book called DIY, which I put the link up to, and also one of the links is to a Newcastle record label that shared how to make records with its fans. Back in the early punk days, the very first Skritti Blitti single was wrapped in the instructions and the costings and the prices and the addresses of suppliers and how to make your own record. So, if if you produce a, let's say you produce something like a hi-fi speaker. Let's say you're a British high-quality hi-fi speaker. The DIY-ness around that is about the positioning in your room, whether you can, whether you want to mount it on a piece of polystyrene or on a concrete block, where you're going to place it in the room and how you test it, what kind of furniture you're going to have in the room. All those kinds of things are more DIY-y and they surround your product. And obviously, in the geek space, people take technical products, rip out the operating system, pour Linux in, and drive it however they want. So there's a hell of a lot of this stuff going on, hacking and cracking, breaking and reusing. There was even a story today about a guy dressed as a wizard who'd taken his what do you call them? The Oyster card. Taken the working part of his Oyster card, which is a London transport system travel card, placed it on the end of his wand, so that dressed as a wizard, he could activate the barriers and so on with his wand. People are doing all this stuff, and you should not be out of that loop. You should be part of that loop, encouraging it and helping it happen. So as much as you can do that, go for it. It's exciting and it involves people. It's just fantastic. So the final bit is just about stuff like bad. It's just about stuff like bad grammar, bad English, spelling mistakes, typos, that kind of error. One of my favourite stories is about Wales. Apparently, this is all hearsay, apparently Wales travel the ocean, travel the world really, and come back to the same parts of the world, you know, at regular times of the year. So this researcher listened to the whale song at a particular part, you know, where the whales were that time of year, and then came back the year after and did the same thing, and realised that whale song evolves, that, you know, it's all kind of clicks and whirs, isn't it? And so the whales had gone off around the globe and come back, and there was an extra click in the song. And so the next year it changed again. And for me, that was a revelation, because that was the kind of evolutionary importance of fashion. Because that's what fashion is, it's a changing trends and norms. And for me, that said, well, in trying to select a mate, you as a female whale will select only males who know the latest song. Anyone who hasn't kept up with the trend isn't part of the group. There's, you know, got one fish short of a bale. You know, you don't want the genes of the whale that couldn't keep up with the song. You want the genes of the whale that did keep of a whale that did keep up with the song. I don't know if you ever saw it's called Life of Birds, the, you know, David Attenborough thing. And it was a fantastic bird in the jungle somewhere, I don't know where, had made, you know, its habit, the male bird would make quite a large enclosed space, a bit like a kind of Glastonbury stage, tidy up the space inside, obviously put this in a safe location, and then go off and find petals and feathers and beetle shells of particular colours and make piles of these different colours around the nest site. What he was doing basically was building a home and decorating it. And the more petals, the more successful he'd been in that, and actually perhaps even the more aesthetic he was, the better a mate he was, because obviously only the strongest, only the best hunter can collect the most resources. And so this was a way of displaying his genetic credentials and advertising his abilities and capabilities versus the other male birds, so that the female could come along and select the best genes for her brood. All absolutely fabulous. So coming back to websites, if you can't manage English or whatever your chosen language is, you know, we're hardwired to think that that's going to lead to a bad experience, right? There's another story from Tom Peters. I love Tom Peters. He's a kind of 1980s management guru, and he spent his life, as you do in that world, flying around the States. And he had a rule called the coffee stain rule. If he ever found a coffee stain on the tray in front of him when he sat down in the airplane, he would never fly with that airline, because, you know, again, that was it. Because as a management guru, he was into management systems and getting things done just so. And it was absolutely clear to him that if there was a coffee stain on his tray, then the engines weren't maintained properly and the pilots weren't trained properly. Absolutely 100%, no arguing. So again, if a website has bad grammar or bad English, it implies that the rest of the, that there's a lack of quality control, there's a lack of good people, and on it goes. The exception to that would be if you are trying to reach, let's say, urban youth, then you might need to speak in their language. You know, that would be acceptable, but it would be correct for the market. But basically the idea of that is, if your English is bad, it's going to reflect badly on you in general. Okay, that's it. That's your Internet Marketing 5 a Day for today. I will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much and goodbye.